season already. Like, it just seems to be flying by, doesn't it? Or is it just me? It's just me. Okay. I asked them. I didn't ask you, by the way. So, you know, it's weird. Pastor Dave spoke last week about Mary. I get the honor this week of speaking about a special character in the Bible, one who had a very, very important job. I remember years ago, before my wife and I went on a vacation, once we had our three kids, we realized that we didn't really have a will or anything like that. So we had to go through the process of kind of picking out who would be responsible for our kids if something were to happen. We were going away by ourselves. We kind of got nervous. We better do something. So we went through the process of putting a will together. And we went through the process of trying to figure out who best would be best for our kids. You know, there's a lot of factors that you have to put into play. You know, what kind of parenting style do they have? What are their values, their religious beliefs? Do they parent? Are they close, like kind of the way you do it? Who's able to take on the responsibility for emotionally and even financially? A lot goes into the decision. For us, as my kids get older now, I think, you know, I really hope that we chose correctly, because I don't want them, whoever we left them to meet us in heaven one day and be really, really mad that we left them with them. Because, man, they could put a hurting on you. They don't stop eating. The other ones, you know, just it's a whole thing. But it's an important job. And today we're going to look at a Bible character who God chose to take care of his son to be his earthly father. That character is going to be Joseph today. I'm going to refer to him throughout this sermon as Average Joe. Because really, we're going to come to learn his story and we're going to find out that he is just that. He's just an average guy. And his story kind of gets left out a lot. You know, the story of Joseph kind of gets lost in the shuffle of Christmas. You know, we have Mary, we have the manger, we have Jesus, we have camels, we have the wise men, we have a star, but you never really hear too much about Joseph. It's kind of like men at a wedding. If you notice, men at a wedding were really kind of just there. You know, everyone always talks about the bride and how, you know, how beautiful the bride was and the flowers that she wore and how her hair was done. You never hear that about the man. You never hear about the flowers in his lapel or how great he was dressed. You think about it. You never hear that. You know, pretty much a guy could be like barefoot in Bermuda shorts at a wedding and nobody wouldn't really make much of a difference. But not Joseph. He's a vital part of the Christmas message. I mean, there's so many factors we're going to look at today of why God may have chose him. I originally thought maybe he chose him because he was Italian. Joseph. I mean, think about it. Have you ever met a guy named Joseph that wasn't Italian? So he was a paisan, you know. But really, why Average Joe? Why would God choose Joe? We just went through the Nehemiah series and we realized that, you know, the whole series was about God using unlikely people. Nehemiah was the unlikeliest person to do the job that the Lord tasked him with. But yet he was chosen and he did it. Imagine God up in his throne room trying to, you know, when he realizes he's going to send Jesus down to earth to become a man. And he's going to turn around and try and figure out who's going to take care of his kid. Who's going to be the earthly foster parent of my child. And he's sitting around and he comes up with Joseph? I mean, he picked Mary. Mary had no experience at this either. And neither did Joseph. He could have chose anybody. He could have chose somebody rich, somebody famous, somebody powerful. He could have even chose a warrior. But instead, he chose a carpenter named Joseph. There's not too much we know about Joseph from the Bible. So we'll just kind of go over a couple of interesting facts that the Bible gives us about Joseph. You'll see in the beginning of Matthew chapter 1 that he does have royal blood. He is from the line of David. And actually the first sentence of verse 1 talks about him being from the line of Abraham. If you look back at the Bible, you can look at chapters like Genesis chapter 18, where the end of it, where they're speaking about Abraham's character and how his ability to make good decisions and run a household. And maybe it's that kind of characteristic that kind of bled through the generations. So he's from that line. That could be one. We don't know how old Joseph is. We know he's older than Mary. We don't know how old he is. We don't even know when he died. The Bible just stops. He's mentioned a couple times, and then it just stops. The Bible says he was a carpenter. Now, there wasn't just tons of wood out there either. You guys just got back. There is really not a lot of wood out there. So carpentry most likely meant not only just working with wood, but also with stone, anything you can do with your hands that you can build. And that was Joseph's profession. Here's an interesting one. Joseph doesn't have one recorded word in the entire Bible. You never hear one word from Joseph in the Bible. And I know you might be, I'm sure he said something. The Bible doesn't say he couldn't speak. You know, and if you think back to even the story in Luke chapter 2 where Jesus, as a young boy, gets lost at the temple there. They're leaving back for Passover. They leave Jesus behind. When they finally find him, it's his mother who speaks up and says, "Why have you treated us so?" Not the father. So we don't have one recorded word from Joseph. But just because he didn't have any recorded words doesn't make him any less important, does it? Sometimes actions speak louder than words. Words aren't as important as we think sometimes. You could take a legal document. Think about the Gettysburg Address. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address has 272 words in it. The whole Gettysburg Address, 272 words. I found a document online about how to properly purchase cabbage in the United States. 26,911 words in it. Words don't always matter. Sometimes actions do. Maybe Joseph was just a strong, silent type, which probably was just the kind of husband Mary needed. And Joseph's journey from carpenter to the earthly caretaker of the Son of Man has some great lessons in us of how God can use us, just like he used average Joe to be part of changing the world. But why? Why Joe? Do you want to take a journey with me today and we'll discover some facts about why? Because Joe was just an average guy and God used him to do an amazing thing. And I'm as average and ordinary as the day is long. And I want God to use me to do things that are uncommon and unheard of and unimaginable and unusual things. That's what I want. That's what God wants to use me for. So together this morning, I want to take a look at the birth of Jesus through the eyes of Joseph. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 18. The first thing I want to point out before we even start is that Joseph had a dilemma. You're going to see right off the bat from the minute Joseph is mentioned that he had a dilemma. Let's read some of verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Let's stop right there for one second. Last week, Pastor Dave explained betrothed to you. So I'll just kind of gloss over that again so that we got a good grip on what that actually means. Betrothed is different than engagement is today. Betrothed was a serious thing. It was a binding. You couldn't get out of a betrothal unless it was either death. I forgot what the other thing was. Death. Divorce. All right, just those two. Death or divorce is the only way you can break a betrothal. So this is a great, exciting time for Joseph. Joseph had all the same feelings that we do when we fall in love. He was a man in love. And they go through this process. They have a year before they're going to consummate the marriage and they're going to move in together. And Joseph's got all these great feelings. He's a man. He's a young man in love. They commit themselves to one another. What a beautiful thing God is doing in this young man, in this young woman's life. And in a half a verse, the story takes a plunge. Now we'll read the whole verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. OK, Can you imagine the kind of emotions that must have been going through Joseph? I mean, he was betrothed. He was tied to this woman. He saw his future. He saw everything in place. And now this. I mean, Mary just got back. You learned last week that Mary went to visit her relative Elizabeth. The angel had told her to go visit Elizabeth as proof that Elizabeth was older in age and barren, and that the Lord gave her a child, and so is he going to do for Mary as well. So she's betrothed to Joseph. She goes away. She comes back, and she's pregnant. Now, let me address the obvious here. Men, I'm going to speak to you for a minute. I'm going to get a little street level on you now because we need to just point out the obvious here. There ain't a dude all up in this room that is believing that story and sticking around. You know it, and I know it. This must have affected Joseph in such a powerful way, though. Imagine for a moment all the pressing questions that he must have gotten, the piercing questions. It must have gripped his mind. How could you fathom this? Things like, why was Mary unfaithful to me? Who was it? What will the people in the community think? And most of all, what am I going to do about this situation right here? Joseph has a dilemma. The scripture says she was found to be with child. And that got me thinking, and just like Joseph, I wonder how many times in our life that things have been going great and then you found out something. How many times that things have been going great and you found out something about your job? How many times things have been going great and you found out something about your marriage? How many times that things have been going great and all of a sudden you find out something that throws you for a loop? See, we find ourselves in a dilemma like this all the time, just like Joseph. But now we get a chance, because of God's word, to see what Joseph is going to do through this dilemma. Let's pick it up in verse 19. It says, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." So what is he going to do? On one hand, he's got his convictions about the purity of marriage, and on the other hand, he's got compassion for Mary. And he's torn. He feels this tension of what the law is going to do. The law, by the way, could say that Mary could be stoned to death for this. But Joseph, he says he's torn. He feels this tension between law and love, and between convictions and compassion. And the funny thing is, while he's battling this eternal struggle between law and love, there's Mary with the answer to law and love sitting right there in her room, womb, right at that time. But he had no idea. He had only two options: to go public and shame her, or to divorce her quietly. The Bible says he was unwilling to put her to shame. I thought that was an interesting word. He was unwilling to put her to shame, even though it would have been much easier for him to do so. And it got me thinking, I wonder how many times in our lives that we are unwilling to do the wrong thing. How many things are you convicted about? How many times have you been in a situation where you've been unwilling to do the wrong thing? Or are we sometimes too willing to do the wrong things because it's easier for us and it serves us better? The Bible says that Joseph was unwilling. So Joseph has a dilemma, just like you and I do. But now God's going to speak into his dilemma, and now Joseph has a dream. And God used dreams in that day to speak to people. If you just look at Hebrews 1:1, you'll see that it says, "Long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." So Joseph has a dream about this dilemma, and now God's going to speak into it. Let's pick it up in verse 20. Verse 20 says, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" It says, as he considered these things. To me, that shows me that it's not final, that Joseph was still wrestling with some of these things. It wasn't final. And then the scripture says, behold. I love this word because anytime you see behold in the Bible, something big's coming afterwards. The Bible never says behold and then just tells you about something. When the Bible says behold, something big is coming. And he says, behold. It's meant to get your attention. He's saying, Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. He wanted Joseph's perspective to kind of change. It's meant to take your attention away from your current situation. And I wonder how many situations in our life that God's trying to get a hold of our attention and say, behold, stop, turn, change your perspective on things. Because I can tell you from personal experience, when God steps in and says, behold, in your life and changes your perspective, lives change. Situations change. Marriages are healed. Addictions are broken. And chains are broken. When God steps in and says, behold, pay attention. What kind of stuff do you think is final that God is ready to step in today and say, behold? And Joseph's about to get that answer. Joseph's about to learn. You know, I thought about this. I wrestled with this for a while because I think this is a place where a lot of us get stuck. This is a place, you know what? I'm coming down here. I'm going to get in your personal space for a minute. Because that's what happens when you ask God for his will in a situation. If you're stuck in a situation and you're wrestling with a dilemma and you ask God for an answer, God's going to show you an answer. But this is where we get stuck. This is where we get stuck because we invite God into our personal space. And guess what? A lot of times, we don't like the answer that God gives us. We don't like it. And this is the eternal battle. We invite God into our personal space. We take a situation and we say, God, I've been toiling with this for a while, and I don't know how to deal with this, and I don't know how I'm going to get over this. God, give me an answer. God, give me an answer. And then God gives us an answer, and we're like, yeah, no, that's not the answer I was looking for. Be careful when you're in the middle of a dilemma. When you invite God into your personal space, he's going to give you an answer. But are you going to obey it? Are you going to follow through with that answer? Man, I love the fact that God speaks to us in such a powerful way, and it takes a lot to hear things you don't want. Can you imagine if Joseph ignored this answer? Can you imagine? He wouldn't have been the father. He wouldn't have been the father. I'm sure Joseph didn't want to hear this answer. But this is where we get stuck sometimes. We get stuck. We ask God for an answer, and then we kind of do our own thing. Now you're starting to see Joseph's character here. You're starting to see where some of this actually came from. If you notice, the angel called him the son of David. I already told you that, you know, in the beginning of Matthew chapter 1, you see that he's from the line of David. He doesn't call him Joseph the carpenter. He calls him Joseph, son of David, because he wants him to remember. He wants him to remember where he comes from. This is important. And the angel then tells him, do not fear. So you only have two choices when God speaks into your dilemma. Two choices when God speaks into a situation. You could either fear or you can trust God. Do you think Joseph had fear in this dilemma? Absolutely. The angel's telling him, don't fear the task that you've been called to do. Do not fear. What a great picture for us in our situations, in our dilemma. You know, God doesn't look at time in a box. He doesn't see things like we see. He doesn't see the current situation. He sees the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So he doesn't see it like we see it. If God says don't fear, that's because he already knows how this ends. Do not fear. God knows there's no need to fear because it's already done. And now God speaks into his dilemma through the angel. He tells him about the virgin birth. I notice a lot of people get hung up on this virgin birth thing. They can't believe it. How could this be possible? I believe a whole bunch of stuff, but I just can't get past, I've actually heard this, I just can't get past the virgin birth. Let me ask you a question. If you believe any bit of the Bible, if you open the Bible at Genesis and you start believing right from there that our God literally blew the world into existence and created man, the trees, the planets, the mountains, the stars, he created all that, trust me, this is a walk in the park for him. Then he tells him what his child will actually do. Let's look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? That's a heavy message right there. Can you imagine if, you know, sitting around in the room with Joseph talking about your kids? What's your kid do? Well, mine plays soccer. The other one's in the marching band. The other one we're trying to get out of the house. Oh, yeah, mine's going to save their people from their sins. Focus on that word for a second with me. Focus on the word from, because I think this is really important. You see, when God sent his only son, when God outstretched his arm and sent his only begotten son down to earth to become a man, to die on a cross, he didn't do it to save you in your sin. He did it to save you from your sin. That's really important. That if you were stuck in a well, if you were out in a field and you were down in a well and you were stuck there, what you're doing in a field and what you're doing down in a well, I have no idea, and that's not part of the story. But you're stuck down in the well, and I come to save you from that well. And I lean over inside the well and I say, "Hey, I'm here to save you." And that's all I do. Did I really save you? But if I outstretch my arm and I pull you out, I pull you from that well, you're now saved. That's the difference between in and from. When God saves you, he doesn't leave you in your sin. He saves you from your sins. He gets you out of the grip of it. He can break the bonds of sin that hold and burden your heart. He can take the shackles and pull them right off of your soul. He saves his people from their sins. We are sinners. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And that is the real story of Christmas. Let's look at verse 22. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." He's quoting Isaiah 7:14 here, and he says his name will be God with us. You know, in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, all the way at the end, the very last sentence, Matthew 28:20, it's Jesus' own words that he says again, "And behold," there's that word again, this is Jesus' words, "and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Well, isn't that a cure for loneliness? David, the great king, writes in Psalm 16, verse 8, he says, "I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." David was going through a tremendous time of persecution when they were trying to kill him. And he recognizes that the Lord is at his right hand. The Lord will always be at your side. The only time the Lord will not be at your side is when you join him in glory and you're now face to face with him. Otherwise, he's there the whole time with you through all your troubles and through all your trials. And the good news of Christmas is that if you know Jesus, you're never really alone. God is with you. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he comes to live in your heart and in your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll be with you the rest of your life. Through every experience of your life, he'll be with you. That's his name, God with us. So we see our character Joseph today. Joseph had a dilemma. And then God spoke into his life and Joseph had a dream. But now Joseph has a decision to make. Let's finish up our passage in verse 24. "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph made the decision to do the will of God with no hesitation. The scripture says he woke up and he did it. He didn't ask his friends what they think. He didn't go on Facebook and take a poll to see what others think he should do. He just did it. He just decided to do the will of God in faith and obedience. He makes his decision. So I ask you today, can we be that bold? Can we be so bold to follow the will of God in our lives like that? I mean, why did God choose average Joe? Well, God knew that Joseph would be humble and obey. He never gets one line in this whole little movie scene we talked about today. He doesn't get one line in the whole thing. Not one line. But Joseph is a man of action. And the great thing about Joseph is, even though he doesn't get one line in this story, rather than listen to him, you end up watching him. You end up watching how he acts. You end up watching how he responds. You end up watching how he handles himself. And you start to get this picture of an extremely humble man, that maybe these are the reasons that God chose him to be the caretaker of his son. I want to be used like that. I want God to use me, just like average Joe, to do his will for his glory, to make a difference for his kingdom. And listen, if you're okay with not doing anything and you're coasting through, great. But not for me. Not for the hundreds of people that I meet here at Bayside week in and week out, who are looking for what the Lord wants to do next in their life and what the Lord has called them to do. And not for my family. We're not okay with that. We're not okay with just sitting idle. We want to see, we want to be part of what God's doing. If you're idle and you're sitting still today, then I encourage you to follow the example. If you're in the middle of something that you just can't understand, it's time to reach out to God and ask him, God, what is your will in this situation? Because I want to follow God's will to do, like I said earlier, the uncommon things, the unheard of things, unimaginable things, whatever God has in store for me and whatever God has in store for you, I want to be a part of it. I don't want to sit idle. So I need to find a character like average Joe here, and I need to pay attention to his actions. His actions speak so much louder than words. He was in a situation, a dilemma that most of us couldn't even fathom. And then God spoke into it. And then he made his decision based on faith alone. I'm sure he didn't understand it fully. And that's what I came to talk about today, is that God can use your dilemma to point you right to your destiny. That thing you're going through that you can't find the answer for, that's where God's going to do his work. That's where God is going to drive you right to your destiny. You want to know the will of God? You're probably stuck in the situation you're in right now, and that's the answer. And we don't like to hear that, I know. We'd rather God just pull out the magic card and everything, bam, goes away. But that's not how it works. Think about a lot of the situations you've been through in your life. How much did you learn through them? How much did you grow through them? Some of them were extremely painful. But that's the way it works. That's the way we grow. If you're stuck in the middle of something today, think about Joe. Think about Joseph. Think about the situation he was in. And no, not necessarily an angel is not going to come down and catch you while you're sleeping. It doesn't need to be this big dramatic thing. Just be still and listen for God's voice. Let him talk to you. Let him guide you through the situation. You just need to be humble and follow his will. Today, as you leave, you'll see that our manger setups in the front and the rear of the auditorium have an additional character there. Last week, as you left, Pastor Dave asked you to just consider Mary. Consider Mary's story. Consider what Mary had gone through to get to her calling. Well, today I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I'm going to ask you to consider Joseph. And don't think for one second that this was easy for him, because you see him sitting in the manger scene now. And don't think that Joseph, most likely he still had many questions, but as hard as it was, he followed God's will. You can't tell me that he decided to follow God's will, he takes Mary, and the whole rest of the Christmas story happens, and all his questions were answered? No, I'm sure he had a list of questions from here to the ceiling. Again, just like you and I do when we're in the middle of going through something. But Joseph followed the will of God. This holiday season, do me a favor. Don't forget the story of Joseph. Don't leave Joseph out. Now that we have a better understanding of what Joseph went through to get to this place, to be the foster parent, if you'll say, of Jesus. If you want God to use you and you want to know God's will for your life, then be like Joseph, the unsung hero of the Christmas story. Because just like you and I, Joseph has a situation, he has a dilemma, he's going through something that's unimaginable, that most people don't ever have to deal with. Joseph has his dilemma that he does not understand how he's going to get through it or how he's going to get out of it. But then God speaks, and God speaks to him in a dream. And when God speaks and he says, behold, he wants you to change your perspective. He wants you to shift your thinking from one way to another, from your thinking to his thinking. So he has a dilemma, he has a dream, but then he makes a decision. And know, to make the decision to do the will of God, you don't have to have every answer. You just have to know that it's the will of God. Because based on your own experience and your own understanding, most likely you'll make mistakes most of the time. But if it's God's will, if it's his will, and you make that decision based on faith, you remember that God can use your dilemma to point you straight to your destiny. You just need to be humble and to follow his will. Don't forget Joseph this season. Every time you look at that manger scene now, I want you to remember that the guy standing on the other side, Joseph, was just an average guy. There was nothing particularly special about Joseph. He was a carpenter. He worked with his hands. He didn't speak an entire word. The spirits did not make the Bible with him saying anything. He wasn't rich, he wasn't powerful, he wasn't a warrior, he was just average Joe. And I bet you if we went around the room, most of us are just average, aren't we? But in God's eyes, we're incredible. You're created in his image. So while we may feel average, God sees something totally different. And what God saw in Joseph, nobody else saw. But God knew how this would play out. And that's why he chose him. And that's why today God chooses you to do whatever the will he put on your life. Whatever it is, whatever you're going through now, fight through it. Talk with God. Get the answers, but then don't ignore the answers. Follow through. And then maybe you too can have an incredible story and an incredible testimony, like probably so many of us already have, and just like our character today, Joseph. Would you guys stand? Father, we come before you this morning as your humble servants, and we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, that it uses average guys, average ladies, like Mary, like Joseph, to do amazing things, impossible things, unimaginable things. Lord, because we see things on such a small scale, in such a tiny box, Lord, but you don't. You've called each and every one of us to do something amazing, Lord, for your glory, not for us, but for you. My prayer, Lord, today is that not only do you show me, but you show every person sitting in here today, Lord, every person that is in a seat, Lord, that you show them the will for their life. And Lord, if there is anyone here that is going through a situation, that is going through their own dilemma, like Joseph, where they think it's impossible and they're never going to get through, and how can they find their way through this, Lord, I pray that this morning's message reminds them to reach out and rely on your answer, knowing that they may not like that answer. Lord, we ask for clarity for everyone in those situations this morning. Lord, and we ask that as we go through the busyness of the season, and as we learn more and more each week about these witnesses of the wonder of the birth of your son, Lord, that we don't forget any of them. And we realize that every one of them has a special, unique place in the story of your son being born, coming to earth, and being a man and dying for our sins. Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone.